There's estimates that there are tens of millions of people in rural China that have cataracts but no access to medical help. That was until Lifeline Express showed up. They're a charity group from Hong Kong that runs a little trains, 2 to 3 car trains, and they go into these rural areas and they do cataract surgery. They can do 30 to 40 cataracts a day. And so the people often come in almost blind, and within a day or two, they go back home seeing. They do over 500,000 surgeries a year at no cost. What an incredible gift, the gift of sight and the gift of generosity. God is very generous to each of us in all of our lives, and he wants us to be generous to others. Let's pray. Jesus, we recognize that every good gift that we receive comes directly or indirectly from you. We pray that as you pour into us, that we would freely pour into others' lives. Thank you that there is no limit to your love and kindness to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in Matthew 20, verse 1 to 16. And Ernie's going to put it up there for you. Matthew 20, 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for denarius, for a day's wage, he sent them to the vineyard. When he went about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever's right. So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around and said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one's hired us. He said to them, you also go in the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call all the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have been borne the burden of the day under the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, am I doing you no wrong? Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give this last the same I gave you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Today is Palm Sunday. We've been focusing in this period of Lent of what the King Jesus was bringing was to look like. Over and over, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is something like this. When you hear the words, the kingdom of God, what does it make you think of? Is this some place that seems far away like heaven? Who's part of the kingdom of God? Angels? How does the kingdom of God work? Is this something that is for the future after our death? Or is this something that's going on right now around us? When difficult things happen in life, like wars, famines, earthquakes, floods, it becomes easy to wonder where God is in all the confusion. Does he know what is going on? Does he care? Are we on our own? In the movie Fiddler on the Roof, the great quote by the Jewish father, Tevi, I know, we're your chosen people, but once in a while, can't you choose someone else? When things are hard, we can begin wondering if God is for us or against us. In the previous 5 weeks in Lent, we've been focusing on what Jesus said the kingdom he was coming to establish would look like. He's compared it to planting mustard seed, the parable of the weeds, a merchant looking for pearls, a net catching fish, and scattering seeds on the ground. The Jewish people have been waiting hundreds of years for God to intervene, to show up, to make a difference in their world and lives. What does God do? He sends his incarnate son as a babe in the manger. Jesus will grow up and experience all the ups and downs, the challenges, the temptations that you and I face on a daily basis. Hebrews 4, 15 to 16, it says, "This high priest of ours, Jesus, understands all of our weakness, for he's faced all the same testings as we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." For so long it has felt like the one who had the most power were those who were the political leadership. They were the ones driving the nation. They were the ones pulling the strings. Yet with Jesus' arrival, God is revealing that the spiritual world is even more dynamic than the physical one that we perceive with our natural eyes. There's a breaking through of God's presence and power, healing the sick, casting out demons, and miracles that defy explanation. Instead of ruling people and nations by force, God wins their dedication through love. In many ways, God is revealing what his kingdom can be like now, but most assuredly, what it's going to look like going forward. His kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. This spiritual kingdom is not at a physical location, but rather resides wherever God's presence is. In this sixth week of Lent, the kingdom of God is like laborers in a field. Have you ever worked on a farm? When harvest comes, it seems like days just run into days, which run into more days. There doesn't seem to be enough hours in every day to complete the task that is before you. You're racing against time, and most assuredly the weather, to get the dry grain in the storehouse or grain bins. Often there's so much dust from the machinery, it can be hard to see or even breathe in fresh air. In today's parable in Matthew chapter 20, a landowner goes out to get people to work in his fields early in the morning. Some suggest as early as 6 a.m. Who gets up that early? The work day often lasted 12 hours. Even today, there are similar opportunities for things like Work Canada, where you could get hired by companies for a day. So the Bible was way ahead of its time. When the workers were hired early in the day, it was agreed that they would receive a denarius, which would have been a day's wage. So the minimum wage in Alberta right now is $15, times it by $12, they make about $180 a day. When the landowner went out at 9 a.m., there were still people in the market looking for work. So in verse 4, the owner says to them, "You go too and work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you what's right." So keep in mind, these people who were hired 3 hours later would only get paid for 9 hours that they worked. Verse 5, the landowner goes out at noon, and then at 3 p.m., and he hires more workers, promising to pay them. This later group would only work 6 hours and 3 hours. And then in verse 6, at 5 p.m., the owner goes to the market square and still finds others who are standing idle, so he asks them, "Why aren't you working?" Their response, "No one's hired us." So the owner sends them into the field to work as well. You might think, why on earth would someone wait around to get paid for 1 hour that's left in the day? Most of the people in this time period were poor. Often the work they got paid for provided their daily bread. They might only get paid for 1 hour's work, but that would get them something to eat. When a person is hungry, they become very invested in being able to gain their daily bread. Verse 8, the end of the day, the landowner said to his manager, call in all the laborers, give them their pay, beginning with the last who came to work and paying those who came early in the morning last. Okay, so here's where the surprise is in the parable. Verse 9, those who had only worked 1 hour were paid a full day's wage, $180. So in verse 10, those who had worked the 12-hour day thought they would get paid more. But instead, each of them received the same amount, $180. Now, we read this, and our automatic reaction might be, this is not fair. This is exactly how the last workers that got paid felt. In verse 11 and 12, it says, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last only worked 1 hour, and you paid them equal to us who've borne and carried the burden of the day in the scorching heat. Where is the union steward when you need them? The owner responds in verse 13 to 16 by saying this, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual day wage? And the answer is yes, they did right at the start of the day. Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to these the last as the same as I gave you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last to be first and the first to be last. My grandson almost made it up to the front. So the last to be first and the first to be last. Okay, what just happened here? Who in their right mind has ever heard of someone getting paid a full day's wage for working 30 or 45 minutes? I want that job. This story is not about who the hardest worker was or who deserved to get paid the most. It wasn't an inquiry why some didn't get hired until the last hour of the day. Did they sleep in? Were they lazy so no one else hired them? This story is all about the largeness of the landowner's generosity, God's generosity. In fact, when God acts like this, it turns things upside down in our world. We have no framework for it. Matthew 10:39, Jesus says, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. The people you would think deserve to enter the kingdom of God, the rich, the famous, the movie star, the millionaire athlete, are not shoo-ins. Everyone is invited to enter, not because of who they are or what they possess, but because of how generous our Heavenly Father is. When I worked for McGavin's in the mid-80s, I worked in one of their bread stores. I made $6.75 an hour, and I worked from 24 to 30 hours a week. I did this for about 6 months until some point in time I decided I was not making enough money and I quit. My last week of work, I was driving in from Bruderheim to Edmonton and I rolled my car. And I got a concussion. But by the end of that week, I was back at the store finishing my last week. A new general manager for Western Canada walked in that morning. I'd never heard of him or seen him before. He knew I was in an accident and asked how I was and he was very kind to me. 2 weeks later, he called me and he said, Lewis, what would we need to do to get you to come back and work for us? Boy, if we couldn't hear more of this in our lives. I said, I want to work 40 hours a week. I want $9 an hour. He said, fine, you can have it. Well, over a period of time, I moved from Edmonton to Calgary. I was starting a new store for McGavin's, and Kerry lived in Calgary, and that was the greater impetus to go to Calgary. And so what happened was how these bread stores worked were in McGavin's, all their truck drivers, some of them had health issues. And so they put them in these stores, and they were getting paid $15 an hour. And if you started working one of the stores, you'd start at $9. But you know how companies have incredible ways of saving money? They changed the scale. Now you started at $6.75, and the most you could make was $9. I'm working in Calgary one day, and a truck driver who worked in one of the Edmonton stores came and found me and was asking me some very direct questions. You see, nobody in McGavin's knew what each other made, but he was poking to try to find information to determine how much I was making because he wanted to create unrest with people that were making less money than I was. He was making $15 an hour, but was not happy that I was making $9 an hour when other people were making $6.75. Do you see what the problem is? He was happy when McGavin's was generous with him, but not so happy when they were generous to others. God has so much to give. His storehouse never runs empty. We do not need to be jealous of others. He is generous to all of us. This is my favorite parable about the kingdom of God. Because of the Lord's extreme kindness. I like where Jesus is going here. God is disturbingly radical in his generosity to us. This is how I want to be in my life toward others. I have a friend who always carries a $50 or $100 bill on him just in case he runs into somebody who needs the money more than he does. I know, you want his name, don't you? Have you ever asked anyone for an autograph? I did once of a football player when he went to the same large church I did. I was a teen. I have no idea where that autograph is today. My oldest brother once won a football that was signed by all the Edmonton Eskimo, now Elks, Grey Cup champion winning teams. We didn't have a football. We played with that football and we kicked it until you could not make out one person's name on it. Sometimes we get so distracted by the things this world says are important that we forget to play with the football. It's never too late to join Jesus' revolution, bringing his kingdom to earth. Matthew 21, Jesus tells a parable about a father who asks both of his sons to go work in the vineyard. The one son says he will, but he doesn't. The other son says he won't, but he does. And then Jesus asks, which son obeyed his father? The obvious answer is the one who eventually did what the father wanted him to do. But then Jesus says this to the religious people of the day. I tell you, the corrupt tax collectors, let me say that again, not the good tax collectors, the corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. God's generosity is not based on our goodness or doing everything right or being religious. Why were dishonest tax collectors and prostitutes closer to being part of God's kingdom? It was because they recognized that they had a spiritual need, how far they were from being right with the Lord. They knew they needed the grace and generosity of God, or they were not going to make it. Just like the workers in today's parable, who only worked 1 hour, did not deserve the landowner's generosity. Neither do we deserve it. God's generosity toward us. Without the grace and mercy of God, none of us can make it. A gracious response on our part to this amazing truth is hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love that has no limits or boundaries. Praise you, Heavenly Father, that you've adopted each one of us to be your sons and daughters, making us heirs in your kingdom. We glorify you, Holy Spirit, when you've made the apparent weak and small things in our world to confound the so-called wise in all their human wisdom. Instead, you reveal yourself to those whose hearts are receptive to your love and forgiveness. Malachi 3:16. A scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who fear God and love to think about him. I love that. I'm going to read it again. A scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared or honored God and loved to think about him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, caring and watching over us when neither we knew or cared about you. We worship you because of all that you've done and are doing in our lives and world. We recognize we all desperately need you the same amount. Help us further your incredible kingdom by allowing your love to flow through us to touch others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. My songs to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my songs to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
You may be seated.
I have a couple of announcements. Benediction will sing one more song, and you'll be dismissed. This week, there is no youth. We must have tired the youth off. They're getting a week off. Other things that are coming, Good Friday service. I've been told already they promised to have cookies there, so it'd be worth your while. It's at 10:30 at the Father's House. It's a joint service with the two churches. Has anyone ever been too generous to you? You know what? The reason that God chose you is because of how wonderful you are. You know what I often say? Everybody seems normal until you hear their story, even when you hear my story. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that it's God's goodness to us. That's what is generosity to us. That's what's made all the difference in our lives. He has come and found us when we weren't even looking for him. And it's made all the difference in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand if you're able for our last song.
With you, and my soul sings out as your word throws doubt far away. I sing to you, and my heart cries holy, hallelujah, Father, you're near. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing. My hope is in you, Lord. I wait for you, and my soul finds rest. In my selfishness, you showed me grace. I worship you, and my heart cries holy, hallelujah, Father, you're near. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing. My hope is in you, Lord. I will wait on you. You are my refuge. I will wait on you. You are my refuge. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. Hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by doubt or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing. My hope is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bridge of the first song.